So I will call the hearing to order. At this point, it does not appear that we have anybody to testify about these proposed cuts, at least in opposition to them. Do we have any questions for Dean Manderscheid?
I will say, I think the fact that nobody's testified hopefully is a reflection of what this allows us the opportunity to do, was go back to the departments involved and the units involved. And I mean, nobody likes to come up with a budget cut, but these were ones that we went back and forth over a period of time during the fall semester on, so that we came to an understanding of, you know, that these were reasonable things, even that
okay. I guess I did have one small question. Just I noticed that the savings on some of these will not accrue until fiscal year 2013. Is that a problem? That it's going to be down the road, or
that what that will mean is that we will have to cash flow some of these, and I think it's. We had cash flow full 276 this year, but you know, it's roughly kind of filling three faculty lines. They don't come up here. And then, if I recall correctly, I can look up the exact numbers again for you. I think we have cash flow 120,000 next fiscal year and 120 after that. So that's the equivalent of not filling 1.5 faculty lines would be the cash flow.
Okay. Shelley?
My questions have to do with the elimination of PhD program in German. I wondered why the choice would be to eliminate it rather than mothball it, so that if there was demand in the future, it could still be offered. I mean, I would not realize cost savings. And I also wondered if there are other PhD programs in German in the region, or the impact in the region on us eliminating this.
This was an item that was discussed with the Department of German. They have not had admissions into that program, if I recall correctly, since Department of Modern Languages and Literature. So they have not had admissions into the German PhD program since 2004. So I think this was an acknowledgement on their part that they, you know, sort of wanted to leave that behind. There are German PhD programs at other institutions in the region. Kansas, Iowa would be two examples of German PhD programs. We still will have, there is one slight change in what's listed on the rationale. Is that originally we said we'd eliminate all 900 level courses. And that was based on discussion with the department chair. When, in fact, it was pushed out to the German unit itself, we realized they felt that that was a little too restrictive. They wanted to still be able to offer 900 courses, and that we could accomplish the same savings we wanted. I'm just saying we're going to offer fewer 800 to 900 level courses, but that we still will have these 900 level courses.
That particularly addressed some of my questions about it, because if they're keeping a master's program, it seems like it would severely weaken the master's if you eliminate all the 900 level programs, and it impacts other content areas that are more interdisciplinary. And
right.
I mean, I think there are people.
Yeah, that was the argument I got. It was very convincing. You're absolutely right. Is that and I must admit, it probably comes a little bit from my misunderstanding of how 900 level courses function here. Is that I was thinking they were strictly purely PhD level courses, and in fact, they're not.
And they're not just strictly German
right.
Majors either. Right.
So so we quickly came to an argument. The argument quickly ended, basically, when I said, okay, you know, I really put the wrong emphasis there in what I wrote. It's that we need fewer graduate level, 800, 900 level courses, not that we don't
sometimes particular academic degrees kind of go in and out of fashion or of higher and lower demand, and it's hard to predict if there will be this increased demand for German PhD. Obviously, there wasn't in the last 5 years, but is there a difference in the cost savings that you can retain by completely eliminating that degree rather than suspending it? It seems like we have degrees where there are no candidates, but they're still on the books. So if the curriculum is reorganized or the fashion trends change and all of a sudden there's a demand again for it, or if you have this faculty turnover and all of a sudden different faculty come in with a more active agenda towards this degree, that one isn't starting from scratch going up through the whole curriculum chain through the Secondary Coordinating Commission?
Right. I mean, that is the advantage to the mothballing, which we have had now for the past 5 years. On the other hand, I think the unit's feeling and my feeling also is that, you know, in some sense, having it on the books is also a bit misleading in the sense that, you know, people think, oh, that's a possibility, I could get a PhD in German, when in fact, in reality, that's not a possibility right now. And so I think that it is probably not realistic to expect in the next 5 or 10 years it would be a possibility again. So I think, yes, it does preclude that option, but I think it's also a question, this is maybe a better truth than advertising also.
The other external complicating factor is that the Coordinating Commission has a rule, a set of metrics that programs in the state degree programs have to meet, and a PhD program is supposed to graduate minimally an average of 3 students per year in any 5-year period, and they review every degree program in the state every 5 years. We've been successful when we have put kind of suspended new admissions in the programs. We've been successful at arguing for a year or two that, you know, we're still thinking about it. But I think at some point the Coordinating Commission would say this is really not a valid program anymore, and they would cause action to eliminate it, I suspect. So there is a finite limit to how long you can mothball. I actually think mothballing is a good tool when we think we are in a phase where we don't have enough faculty capacity or there's not enough demand in the job market. But there's a finite limit to how long you can mothball.
An example of a mothballing that I'm in favor of and actually a pushback on the Coordinating Commission is the MA in Classics, is that no students have been admitted to that last 5 years or so. But I still see that there's potential there. And in fact, with the department's Classics and Religious Studies growth in religious studies, I see tremendous potential there. And so what we did there was, in fact, when the Coordinating Commission was getting more and more forceful, just last fall I worked with Ellen in her role as graduate dean at the time, to change the degree program, I think we changed to Classics Religious Studies. And that allows us to get some breathing room and also look at the possibility of getting the Religious Studies degree and still have the Classics degree. So there's an example of where mothballing works very well. But Ellen's absolutely right. The Coordinating Commission will ask every year about that German program, and we have to give, we're considering, you know, reopening it. And at some point, you know, would maybe just say, well, it's not going to happen in the foreseeable future.
Does this leave an active master's with a certain number of grad students?
Yes, it does. In fact, we didn't want to go at that. Was very clear in my read at this point that I didn't think it was a good idea to look at eliminating the master's program, because what it serves is it has a very clear group it serves is students who want to go on to teach German in high schools in the state of Nebraska. It's a small program, but it's serving that niche, and that's something that would be less well served by a program in, you know, Iowa or Kansas.
Thank you. I just wanted to understand what I was voting for.
Okay.
and voting for this. So
okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That education link is pretty important,
right.
Really, in almost every content area. Julia is pretty important in mathematics and German. I think Alimota may have a few doctoral students who might take some of those 900 courses also. But it would not be the same kind of scholarship in the degree.
Right.
But it would still be a degree of like German education
right.
for German.
Right. And Allie Moeller also has this, you know, she's ramping up this golden program with the German unit, which is an online master's degree program. And in fact, that was one of the arguments for keeping the 900 level courses. Some of the courses in that program are currently labeled as 900 level courses. We did not want to eliminate those, and I hadn't realized that. So that's why we modified the 900 level portion.
I was also curious about the elimination of the stipends. Of course, last time we had a lot of discussion about that, people testifying on that. This time nobody is here. I'm just kind of curious, all of the anxiety been assuaged about that, or are they just fatalistic, or what? You know, what's the...
You have to ask them.
Yeah.
I think it's probably, there might be some of the fatalistic aspect of it, but I think it's mostly that's been assuaged, because what we're doing in that unit is reorganizing how it's run. The coordinator positions in Native American Studies, African American and Africana Studies, and Latino Latin American Studies were, when the Institute was formed, I guess some years ago, those were the groups that were brought together, and it was important for them to maintain their separate identity, they felt, and have their coordinators. What we've come to, and in fact the unit has come to the belief now that they're not well served by that. In fact, what they want to move is to more departmental-like structure, where they have a direct institute director, and then they have an institute associate director. And that will save money, because we now only have two people. And the associate director will not have a stipend. The associate director will get course release. There'll be a head advisor who will also get course releases. So it's a more efficient organization. And what I will do is save money on the stipends. And they think it's a better organization, because also what it will mean, part of the issue they had was many of the faculty, to be honest, I mean, not everybody likes to do administration. Many of the faculty didn't want to be the coordinators, but felt they had to. Now, they, and thus, when they had to, wanted to be compensated more than I felt was appropriate. And so now, what they'll do is only need to have, instead of four people, well, they'll have two. And so, and then there's less need for the stipend, it's more efficient, I think. That was a real turning point in the discussion with Amelia Montes, when we came to the realization that that was probably a better structure for them.
Okay. Jennifer?
Moving on to another subject. Can you just give us a little more detail on how you see and where you see the combined chemistry and electronic shop?
Okay. That... You know, we're going to have to, that's going to, all right, now I'm going to remind myself of the details. Right. So that is going to take, that's one of the cuts that's going to take some time, because what we anticipate is when physics moves to the new physics building, that there's going to be a large number of sort of one-time setup issues. And so a combination really doesn't make sense while you're trying to do that. Keep the shops separate. We, in fact, might even have to pour a little bit extra money into some overtime for the people in the electronic shop and physics to take care of the move. But once that move takes place, once things are settled in, really what's our perception here is that there might be some efficiencies gained, not by having them all in one physical location necessarily. We may still have people in chemistry and physics. That would be for them to determine what was the best operation. But rather, by combining them, you have the efficiency of scale, so that you may not have to, these are relatively small units, so that you wouldn't have to have two operations running with two supervisors and so on. And then also that there might, what the needs of electronic shops have also changed over time. This is a structure that's existed in both these units for a long period of time. And the needs of electronics, things are more computer-oriented, things you don't repair as much, you tend to replace more. So we want them to explore that possibility, but only when they get in the new building and see, how things are working and how things would work across the two buildings.
Are there any other questions for Dean Manderscheid? Thank you very much.
And I'll say that, once again, the electronic, there was initially, when we talked with chemistry and physics, we talked about all their shops. It was very clear to us, they said, please don't do anything with the instrumentation shop. It's running very well now. We don't see any increased efficiencies. But these were proposals they brought to us. Of course, they'd rather not cut anything. But these were the proposals they brought to us as how they might be more efficient.
Any other questions? Is there any other testimony? If not, then I think we are adjourned. We will have our deliberations on these proposals Monday afternoon.
Should I come in case there are questions on Monday afternoon? I don't know. Yes. Of course, I will be glad to participate.
Yeah, I think that's...